Amen. No better place to be than in the center of God's will, wherever that might be. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, if you would look with me to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17. We're going to be reading verse 45 down to verse 47. And once you find that, I want you to also look over to 2 Samuel chapter 11. And we're going to be reading the first four verses there. So two passages of Scripture that we're going to have you turn to. And so before you stand, I'd like for you to get a hold of those. Get them marked there. Put a finger there in 2 Samuel chapter 11. We're going to turn there right after we read 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 45 through 47. All right. So if you stand with me this morning, we'll go ahead and read the Word of God together. As I read, you follow right along with me. Two very familiar passages of Scripture. And of course, concerning David. The first passage of Scripture is concerning David and his battle with Goliath. And the second passage of Scripture is David and Bathsheba. And so here in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 45. Then said David to the Philistine, "Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with the sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." Praise the Lord for that. Now turn over to 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 1. "And it came to pass, after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah, but David tarried still at Jerusalem. And it came to pass in an evening tide that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house, and from the roof he saw a woman washing herself. And the woman was very beautiful to look upon. And David sent and inquired after the woman. And one said, 'Is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?' And David sent messengers and took her. And she came in unto him, and he lay with her, for she was purified from her uncleanness, and she returned unto her house." Wow. What a difference. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord God, for loving us. Thank you for this another opportunity to assemble ourselves together this morning. And God, you knew exactly who was going to be here. You know what's taken place in all of our lives. And as we've assembled to worship you, I know, God, that you have a message for each one that would have an ear to hear it. I pray, God, that you would give them that message. And I pray that you would empower me and use me as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Two very well-known stories that we've read. I think that there's people all around the world, and for many generations, have heard and have known about the story of David and Goliath and David and Bathsheba. The lost know about these stories. I mean, you'll hear whenever you're watching football games or different, especially if it's an underdog, and they'll maybe refer to the underdog as David against Goliath. So both of these stories are very common to most people. I would imagine everyone in here has read these stories. You possibly have heard both these stories preached on quite a few times. Two very well-known stories that we have just read just a few verses of each one. There were two life-changing decisions made by David. The decision to fight Goliath, life-changing. His life would never be the same after this. And the decision to commit adultery with Bathsheba. His life would never be the same after that. If David were here this morning, and we could ask David today, David, who do you want to be? The David associated with killing Goliath? Or the David associated with committing adultery with Bathsheba? Who do you want to be? I don't think there's a question in our minds who David would want to be known as. This morning, I'm asking you, the title of the message, who do you want to be? If both were in David, both these decisions and both these stories are dealing with the same individual. The David that had the boldness to go out and fight a Goliath and beat and win that battle, get the victory over a Goliath, was the very same David that finds himself committing adultery with Bathsheba. It was in David, and can I tell you that God has revealed to us these two stories. He's given to us the life of David, and if it was in David, can I tell you, it's in every one of us. You have within you the capabilities, especially if you're saved through Christ, to accomplish great and mighty things. To do a great work for the cause of Christ. To be a great example for everyone else to look to and say, wow, I want that very same victory in my life that David had when he went out and won the victory with Goliath. I want to be able to fight those battles and win those victories. But then we each and every one of us have within us the very same possibility of doing something that will bring shame to our lives and those around us. Who do you want to be? Today, David will know what kind of mindset he had in making both decisions. David would know today what led up to making the decision to fight Goliath, and what led up to the decision of committing adultery with Bathsheba. Well, we don't have David here to tell us, but we do have what God has written down and preserved for us. We've read both of those stories. And within both of those stories, we can find what was going on in David's life and what kind of mindset he had that led to the decision that he made. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, and we don't have time to read the entire story, but I want to take you to verse 20. This was David while he was still a shepherd boy. Right before he fights the Goliath. The Bible says, "And David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with a keeper and took and went as Jesse, David's father, had commanded him. And he came to the trench as the hosts were going forth to fight and shouted for the battle." What led up to David fighting Goliath? This happened right before he would go out to fight Goliath, right before he would make the decision. He was a shepherd boy. And his dad says, "I want you to take lunch to your brothers," encouraging them. And David was so excited about having the opportunity to go to the battlefront, to go to the place where his brothers were engaged in battle with the Philistines. And David was so excited that he got to go up to the battlefront to be able to witness his brothers and the nation, the armies of the nation of Israel, fight against the nation of the Philistines, the good against the bad, the white hats against the black hats. Amen? And he was so excited. And David, when he got there, the Bible says that David was so excited that he shouted for the battle. Woo! Go get him! He was excited about the idea of serving the God of Israel. Because Israel was the children of Israel, were the children of God. And to be in the army that would go out and fight against the enemy, it was their opportunities to serve God and to stand for what is right and to fight those battles. And so the first thing that we find about David in his mindset was that David was excited about serving God. Look at verse 45 that we just read there. Now he's out there just a couple days, and he's out there. He's getting ready to fight Goliath. "Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. I come to you as a servant of the Lord. I come serving God to battle you who are against God. I come to you representing that which is good to battle that which is evil. And I'm on the winning side because I'm on God's side." And if you would notice the mindset that David had in going into the decision to fight Goliath was a mindset of excitement about serving God. How excited are you about the God of Israel, the God of heaven, the Creator God? How excited about are you as a born-again believer? If you have received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, listen to me. How excited are you about being a Christian, about having the opportunity to represent your Savior, Jesus Christ, having the opportunity to stand where He stood and preach what He preached and live as He lived and be an encouragement and a help to others to overcome that which is evil and to do that which is good? How excited are we? What's your mindset in the opportunities of serving God? As we stay excited about being a Christian and having the opportunity to serve in the Lord's army, can I tell you something? You'll make better decisions. That's what led David to say, "I'll go fight him." Fast forward, 2 Samuel chapter 17. That's what God tells us, mindset. David was excited. He made the decision, "I'm going to go fight Goliath." Chapter 17 of 2 Samuel. Chapter 11, I'm sorry, 2 Samuel. verse 1. Now David is the king. It came about because he fought Goliath. All of Israel knew that David was the shepherd boy that killed Goliath. Their greatest threat to Israel was the Philistines, and David killed their best soldier, the giant that would, in time, propel him to being the next king of Israel. That was God's will for his life. So now he's the king of Israel. Chapter 11, verse 1. And it came to pass after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle. That's what God writes to us. To understand where David's at before he makes a very wrong decision, God writes it down. He says he should have been in battle. He should have been engaged in the battles of the Lord. When kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But David tarried still in Jerusalem. We don't know all the reasons. Maybe he had a headache that day. Maybe David was fighting some discouragement. Don't know all the reasons. No doubt there was reasons. There's never an excuse for wrong behavior. There's always reasons why people behave wrongly. But it's never an excuse. So we don't know all the reasons that David decided that he wasn't going to go to that battle. He was going to disengage himself from the battles of the Lord. I'm just going to stay home. But the Bible says he stayed home when he should have been engaged in battle. David's mind was not on the battle. He was not excited about winning spiritual battles. The man who was once very excited about serving the Lord, now disgruntled. Not concerned about seeing souls saved. Not concerning about seeing children discipled and adults discipled. Not concerned about a Sunday school class. Not concerned about a bus ministry. Not concerned about fighting the battles of the Lord. Remember this statement, because it's so true. Most of the time, most of the time that we do what we shouldn't do because we are not doing what we should do. Most of the time we do what we shouldn't do is because we're not doing what we should do. David's getting ready to make a very bad decision. David is getting ready to make a decision that will alter the rest of his life, will mar a testimony for God that God wanted him to have for good, and now it's going to be marred. It would affect his entire family for the rest of their lives. The sword would not leave his family. The judgment of God would not leave his family. His entire family would be scarred and marred because of the decision that David would make on this particular day. And his mindset leading up to that decision, first and foremost, was, I'm bored with my life. Not very excited about being a Christian today. Not excited about being in church. Not excited about serving God. Not excited about fighting those spiritual battles. Why? Because somebody in that church offended me. There's a bunch of hypocrites in that church. They say one thing and I see them out doing something else. And so because I'm just not going to be involved in serving God any longer. And they get discouraged or they get disgruntled. Whatever it is that led to it, he disengaged in the battles of the Lord. And I don't know what Satan might be using in your life today to steal away your excitement from serving God, to steal away the opportunities that God has presented to you to make a difference in somebody else's life, the opportunities that you have to accomplish great and mighty things as you serve the Lord. I don't know what's gone on in your life, but can I tell you, if you are discouraged, if you have lost your zeal, if you have lost your excitement about serving God, about being a Christian, you're on the verge, if you haven't already fallen over that, of making a very bad decision. A decision that could scar you and your family for the rest of your lives. If it was in David, it's in you. Who do you want to be? You want to be the David that fights Goliath and experience tremendous victories in battle? Or do you want to be the David that is a discouragement and disgrace to everything that God stands for? Do you remember how excited you were when were you excited about serving God? Have you ever been? I don't see how you cannot get excited when you get saved. If you truly get saved and you understand that I was lost and on my way to a devil's hell, and then somehow, someway, somebody revealed to me about a Savior, told me that Jesus, that's why he came to this earth some 2,000 years ago. Jesus was God who was manifested in the flesh, and he went to the cross of Calvary. And on that cross of Calvary, they did not crucify him on their own. He laid down his life on the cross of Calvary. He willingly became a sacrificial lamb to there suffer and bleed and die for the sins of humanity, so that he might, through his blood, offer all who will call upon him everlasting eternal life. How can you not get excited about that when you realize that now I was lost and on my way to a devil's hell, but now I am found, now I've been reconciled to God, right now I have everlasting, eternal life, I have the Holy Spirit of God dwelling within me, and I have an exciting opportunity to represent Jesus Christ as his ambassador. Amen. That's exciting stuff. Remember when that was exciting? Remember when that was exciting, when you started to serve God and seeing bus children coming in and seeing them getting saved and seeing their lives starting to change, and how not only did it change their lives, but they went home and told mom and dad about what happened to them. And then we find mom and dad coming to church and mom and dad getting saved, and that whole family's life now has changed. Can you remember when? Excited about serving God. Excited about standing up at work and say, wait a minute, I'm not going to participate in that, because that a Christian does not do those kind of things. God would not be pleased with me to go to the bar, and God would not be pleased with me to engage in that kind of communication. I'm going to take a stand, and let me tell you, you ought to consider the Bible concerning what you're doing with your life. Amen. And you've excited about serving God. Can you remember when? Can I tell you that God's not changed? In the book of Titus, write it down. Let me just read it to you. Found after the book of 2 Timothy, we find the book of Titus. In chapter 2 and verse 12, it says this. The grace of God, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. That's fighting the battle. That's the David who fought Goliath. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Looking for that, that's exciting, knowing that it's coming. It's never been as exciting as what it is in the day and age that we live in. If you've not been coming Sunday night, you're missing out on the teaching through the book of Revelation. And we're right now revealing, God's revealing in the book of Revelation what's going to take place. And everything is positioning itself for the rapture to take today. And if you're in the Word of God and you understand that, you believe that, it's an exciting time to live. Looking for. Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself. Listen right here. He did that, saved you, purified you for this purpose. Unto himself, a peculiar people. That's not weird. Don't be weird. Don't have a testimony for Christ as being weird. No. Peculiar. What is that? Different. There's always a reason why I'm different. The reason why I don't go to the bars. The reasons why I don't dress immodestly. There's a reason why I don't do this. A reason why. What is that reason? The Bible. Amen. There's a living God whom I serve, and that would not please him for me to do those things. That's different. But not only a peculiar people, but zealous of good works. I'm excited about serving God. Excited about representing Christ. God's will hadn't changed. So we find that that was the first thing about David. He was excited when he made the right choices. He was disgruntled, oppressed, not engaged in battle before he made a wrong choice. The second thing, go back with 1 Samuel now. 1 Samuel chapter 17. If you read this, you'll find that David not only was excited, but David was mindful of God and God's glory. He was mindful of God and glorifying God when he made a right choice. The Bible says to pray without ceasing. That means never. Never be without a remembrance, being reminded of God's presence. Always be aware of God's presence. Because he's promised never to leave us nor forsake us. He's always present. If you're aware of his presence, you're going to be more apt to make decisions that will glorify him. Verse 46, we read this. David says, "This day will the Lord." When he saw Goliath, he saw the battle. He was excited about being there. But he was excited because he knew that he wasn't alone. If he did not have God on his side, I don't think he would have been as excited about standing before this some 10-foot tall gladiator. And he was getting ready to go against him in battle. Physically, he would have thought, there is no way. He would not have had that confidence, but he had his confidence. He was aware of God. He was aware that he was God's servant. He was excited about the opportunities to serve God. "And this day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will get..." He didn't have a sword. And yet he understands... somehow, the Lord's going to have me take your head off. And so, I'm going to use your sword, evidently. That's the only sword that was out there on the battlefield. Having confidence of being able to take that away from Goliath and use it against him. "I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistine this day into the fowls of the earth, of the air, and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth..." This is mindset. This is what he's thinking. Everyone on this planet earth may know that there is a God in Israel. The way I live and what I do is because I want everyone on this planet earth to realize there is a God. And because there is a God, he has set us apart to represent him. And because we are to represent him, I'm not going to do the things that do not bring honor and glory to God. He was mindful of God and how the world needed to know that there is a creator God. There's never been a time where the world needs to realize that more than today. There is a creator God. This Bible is the written down, preserved word that God has preserved for us. And David was mindful of it. David wanted to honor God with all his decisions. It wasn't about trying to impress others. It was about glorifying God. The Apostle Paul would write, Philippians 1:21, "For to me to live is Christ." Why? Because he wanted to glorify God with his life. "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." What a mindset. It's who David was when he made the decision to fight Goliath. Fast forward, 2 Samuel, chapter 1. Same David. Different mindset. No longer is he excited about serving God. Who doesn't even matter why, how it happened, where it happened, what happened. Look at his mindset. Wasn't engaged in battle. Since he's not engaged in battle, he's more vulnerable to Satan's attempts. Verse 3. After he saw a woman bathing herself. Verse 3 says, "And David sent and inquired after the woman. And one said, David, that's Bathsheba. She's the daughter of one of your faithful soldiers." Can I tell you that every woman is a daughter of somebody? Daughter of somebody that has a father that wants their daughter to do right and turn out right and love the Lord. And so as he inquired, one said, "This is Bathsheba. She's the daughter, David, of Eliam." And not only that, David, she's married. She's the wife of Uriah, another very faithful servant of yours, the one that's out in the battle where you should be, engaged in the battle, serving God, accomplishing things for God. She's his wife, David. But David would block out God and focus on himself. When you stop remembering God's presence and you stop living to glorify Him, you're going to block out conviction, you're going to block out God, and you're going to start satisfying the flesh. David blocked it out and said, "I'm the king. I can do this." And he was. And he did. You might say, "Hey, I'm old enough now to make my own decisions. I don't have anybody telling me what to do. If I want to do it, I'm going to do it." And you're right. Listen to me. If somebody wants to do something evil, they'll eventually get it done. No matter what kind of guards and restrictions that you might put on them, if they want to do it bad enough, they'll find a way. But that mindset is block out God. Block out conviction. I just want to tell David, David, remind yourself of who you are. Before you do that, David, listen to what God has warned you about. This is the daughter of one of your faithful servants. This not only is his, it's not only going to affect her mom and dad and the rest of her family. This is a wife of Uriah. David, in God's eyes, you're getting ready to commit adultery. David, in God's eyes, you're getting ready to turn against the very law that God has established for us to live by. The God who gave you the victory over Goliath, the God who put you on the throne, the God who saved you, the God who loved you, the God who blessed you, and you're getting ready to dishonor and bring shame to the cause. Have you forgot, David? God's presence. Can I tell you, we must learn to rebuke ourselves. No one knows what you're yielding to in your mind but you and God. You might be able to hide it from everyone else, but you're not hiding it from you, and you're not hiding it from God. Don't you care about God's glory anymore? Aren't you concerned about how this will affect your relationship with God? Aren't you concerned about the law? The Word of God? If we don't learn to rebuke ourselves, we'll find ourselves making wrong decisions. In the book of Proverbs, in chapter 23, stay with me. I'm going to be just a few more minutes. I want you to see this. So this is so powerful. Powerful truth. Proverbs chapter 23. In Proverbs chapter 23, verses 1 and 2, the Bible says, "When thou sittest to eat with a ruler, consider diligently what is before thee, and put a knife to thy throat if thou be a man given to appetite." What's he saying there? Learn to rebuke yourself. Put a knife to your throat. Maybe not literally, but be ready to tell yourself, you're not going to give in to this. You have to overpower and overcome the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. Only you can rebuke you the way that God wants you to. Jesus somewhat gave the very same illustration over in the book of Matthew. Let me read it to you. I'm sure you would be very familiar with this. In Matthew chapter 18, in verse 8 and 9, he says, "Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off." Now, did he actually want you to cut them off? That was an illustration, but you would be better off. If you can't control your hand, get rid of it. Rebuke yourself. "If thy hand or foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. If thine eye offend thee, pluck it out." If your eye keeps sending wrong signals, you better rebuke that eye. "And if need be," the Bible says, "it is better for thee to enter into life with one eye rather than having two eyes to be cast into hellfire." What Jesus is establishing is the same thing that was given to us in the book of Proverbs. The same thing that David needed to do is, David, when you have those kind of thoughts and you have those kind of lusts and you have those kind of desires, listen to me, when no one else is around and no one else knows what's going on, you had better come to the place where you know how to rebuke yourself. There's times certain thoughts come into my mind. And I'm usually, where in the world did that come from? And then I know where that came from. Satan can put suggestions and thoughts in your mind. And if you don't learn to acknowledge that as a wrong thought, a wrong desire, something that Satan is trying to tempt me with, and if you don't learn to rebuke that, you'll end up giving in to it. And before you know it, that thought will become an action. An action like David and Bathsheba. It would change your life from that point forward, and not in a good way. The last thing, real quick. When David was thinking right, he was excited about the battle, excited about serving God. He was aware of the presence of God. He was aware that his life was here to glorify God. I'm excited about serving God. I represent the most holy God of heaven. I'm going to be zealous. I'm going to do what God wants me to do. I'm there. And the last thing that we find that the Bible reveals about David, it not only was David mindful of God's presence, he was mindful of others around him. How his decision would impact the lives of others. When it came to fighting Goliath, 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 47, and all this assembly shall know, all this assembly. I'm doing this because God wants me to do this, and this will be a testimony as to the power of God and what he can do in all the assembly. Everyone who sees this will know. Lord saveth not with the sword and spear. For the battle is the Lord's. And he will give you into... Notice he didn't say my hands. Our hands. He wasn't thinking about himself. He was thinking about how this would impact the lives of all of Israel, and the whole world would know there is a God. Decisions I make for the cause of Christ will impact not only my close relatives, my wife, my family, my children, my extended relatives, my nieces, my uncles, my aunts, my cousins, whatever, my church family, my co-workers, but eventually it could impact the world, that all the people may know, all the world may know. And David was thinking about what he did and how God would use it to impact the world. And because he had that kind of mindset, that kind of thinking, he made the choice to fight Goliath. Isn't that great? That's what the Bible says. Fast forward. 2 Samuel, chapter 11, verse 4. He was just warned. It would impact Bathsheba, her father, her husband, all around them. The Bible says in verse 4, and David sent messengers and took her. David, you inquired, you know. Blocked it all out. He didn't want to think how it would impact anyone else but himself. Didn't care about what the messengers would think. Or how it would affect Bathsheba. She didn't have a say in it. He took her. Didn't think about how it would affect her father, Eliam, her husband, Uriah, or the law. Focused on no one else but himself. When you get to that place, it's within you. If it was within David, it's within every one of us. Lose excitement about your Christianity. Lose excitement about serving God. Lose excitement about glorifying God. Lose sight of God's glory, His presence. Then you lose sight of how it will impact others. And you just focus on you. You're going to make a decision like David made. Who do you want to be? After defeating Goliath, David, the David associated with defeating Goliath, went on to become a king. Led the nation of Israel to victory after victory after victory. David committed adultery with Bathsheba, went on to be known as an adulterer, a liar, a deceiver, a rebel, and a murderer. A murderer. Who would have thought that would have been in David? Who would have thought David could have been that type of person? And yet it's within every one of us. So the question, who do you want to be? The person that's associated with representing God, who fights the Lord's battles, who has the victories, who impacts the world for the cause of Christ, or the person who's associated with shame, associated with sin, who's used to destroy your family and brings shame to the cause of Christ? Who do you want to be? It's your choice. It's your choice. If I could have every head bowed. It is your choice. Because in Christ, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. In the flesh, you can commit any and every sin that any other man or woman could commit and bring shame. Who do you want to be? It starts with your mindset. Have you lost your excitement? Has Satan blinded you to the privilege it is to be a Christian and to represent Christ? Has Satan blinded you to the fact that God is very much aware of everything we do and He is there? Has Satan blinded you to the fact of how your decisions will impact others around you? Don't let it happen. Don't let that happen. Father, we love you. Thank you for the truth of your word. Thank you for the example of David. And God, I pray now that you would help us each and every one to make personal applications to our own life. Only you know where we're at and which one of these stages we're at. Whatever's happening, help us to rebuke ourselves if we need to be rebuked. Help us to look to you and be all that you would have each one of us to be. If there's someone here that does not know you as Savior, Lord, today they have an opportunity to come and to receive you, have everlasting life. Be given a gift of forgiveness of sins and a cleansing and a gift of everlasting life. God, I pray if there's anyone here that's lost, they'd get saved today. In Jesus' name, amen.